الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فنحن في صدد إكمال ما سيسر لنا بإذن الله من تفسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي. وكنا قد شرعنا في تفسير سورة الكهف، ووصلنا إلى الآية 34 بفضل الله عز وجل. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Praise be to Allah. I'm supposed to translate that to English. And may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, whom there is no prophet after. We have made it up to verse number 34. And we were in the process of discussing, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned to us, the issue that happened between the two friends, the two companions, whom Allah had given one of them a garden, two gardens full of fruits and vegetation and rivers and dates and grapes. Remember? Not your average one. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال الله تعالى: فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره: أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه، قال: ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا، وما أظن الساعة قائمة، ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا. Someone kindly read verse 34, 35 and 36 in English with a loud voice. Walaikum salam. Go ahead.
And he had proffered me for fruit, and he said to his companion, in the course of his law, I am more than you in wealth and stronger in respect of men. And he went into his garden while he was staying, pride and disbelief, adjust himself, he said, I think not that this will ever perish. And I think that the hour will never come, and if indeed I am brought back to my Lord in the day of resurrection, I surely shall find greater than this when I return to him.
MashaAllah. This man has lost his mind at that particular time. The Shaykh Rahimahullah says, أي فقال صاحب الجنتين لصاحبه المؤمن وهما يتحاوران، أي يتراجعان بينهما في بعض المجريات المعتادة أو المجريات المعتادة، مفتخرا عليه: أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. فخر بكثرة ماله وعزة أنصاره من عبيد وخدم وأقارب، وهذا جهل منه، وإلا فأي افتخار بأمر خارجي ليس فيه فضيلة نفسية ولا صفة معنوية، وإنما هو بمنزلة فخر الصبي بالأمان التي لا حقائق تحتها. The Shaykh said, explaining these verses, meaning the man who had the two gardens told his friend, the believing man, while they were conversating, meaning while they were chit-chatting about the typical things, the things that people usually speak about, like you would speak with your friend, how's work, how's life, and what have you. مُفْتَخِرًا عَلَيْهِ, while he is boasting on his friend, in a state of arrogance, he told him, I have more money than you, and more assistance, more people behind me. So he became proud with the abundance of his wealth and with the strength of his helpers, from slaves that he had and khadam, and from servants and relatives. And the Shaykh said, and this is ignorance on his behalf. This is ignorance on this man's behalf, because what is the purpose of boasting about something that is not related to a personal character? You understand what I'm saying? He's boasting about something that is not like his own, like maybe he's generous, maybe he's merciful, maybe he's kind, maybe he's gentle. What he's boasting about is not something that is in him. Rather, something that is outside. And this is from his ignorance. Because this is equal to a young boy who's boasting about imaginary things that are related to the truth in no way. They're not related to the truth in any way. Like a child says, "Oh, you know, children, all Jeddah is mine. And Riyadh is mine." You know, children, they say anything. Everything is mine. The whole country, the school is my school. And my father's car is my car. What do you say about this child? Man, it's foolish. Foolish young man. We know he doesn't own anything. But he says, right? They just speak about hopes. Oh yeah, it's mine, it's mine. So this man is equivalent to this young boy. Because he's telling this man, "Look man, I got more money than you. I got more support, more helpers, more people than you. And what virtue is in that?" This is something that is from the outside, not something that is in you. You're supposed to speak about something that is in you. If you had a good characteristic, then you would say, you know, "I am generous, you know, I am such and such." If he's boasting, even that is not permissible in Islam. But at least he would be boasting about something that is from him. Rather, he was boasting about something that was given to him by Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's not something that belongs to him. فَهَذَا جَهْلٌ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَكْفِي هَذَا الْإِفْتِخَارِ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ حَتَّى حَكَمَ بِجَهْلِهِ وَظُلْمِهِ وظن لما دخل جنته فقال: "ما أظن أن تبيد أي تنقطع وتضمحل هذه أبدا، فاطمأن إلى هذه الدنيا ورضي بها وأنكر البعث." The Shaykh said, and this man was not sufficed. He was not sufficed by just boasting to his friend, but he concluded by ruling upon himself with extreme ignorance and oppression. So he entered upon his garden and he thought to himself, "This will never demolish, this will never vanish, this will never perish, this is going to be forever." So he became comfortable, his heart became content with this dunya, with this world, and he was satisfied with it, and he denied resurrection. That's why he said, "And I do not believe, and if the hour was to come, if the hour was to come, I don't think the hour is going to come. But if it does, then I will have with my Lord something better than what I currently have." وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَى رَبِّي عَلَى ضَرْبِ الْمَثَلِ لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا أي لَيَعْطِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ هَاتَيْنِ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ وَهَذَا لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ أَمْرَيْنِ إما أن يكون عالما بحقيقة الحال فيكون كلامه على هذا الوجه التهكم والاستهزاء فيكون زيادة كفر إلى كفر وإما أن يكون هذا ظنه في الحقيقة فيكون من أجهل الناس وأبقسهم حظا من العقل. So basically he said that if I were to return to my Lord, then he will give me better than these two gardens. And the Shaykh said this could be only one of two things. Our brothers, for him to say this statement, it could be only one of two things. Either he knows this, and he is speaking this based on knowledge, that he truly does not believe that Allah will resurrect him. And if Allah was to resurrect him, that Allah would really give him more. Or so if this is the case, then his speech will be to understood that he is saying it in a state of mockery and belittling Allah. He's saying the statement as mockery and belittling Allah. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody who knows, say, "Oh, the hour is not going to come. And if the hour was to come, I will have with Allah better than what I have right now." A'udhu billah. This is mockery of the deen. This is the first option. The second option is that he may be, so he said, if it's the first option, that there will be increase in his kufr over his initial kufr. This is double disbelief. Because it's one thing to disbelieve in the resurrection, and it's another thing to mock what Allah has mentioned and what Allah has Allah has made a reality, which is the day of judgment. Or, and no, this is in case he he knows that there's a day of judgment, but he is just pretending. Okay, the first option, I'm sorry, let me correct myself. The first option is assuming that he knows that there's a day of judgment, but he's only saying this with the speech. The second option is that he truly believes that there's no day of judgment, and if there was to be a day of judgment, he will be given something better. Then the Shaykh said that he will be, if this is the case, then he is among the most ignorant of people and the most deficient and feeble-minded. Yani the most deficient in intellect, if he truly believes so. فأي تلازم بين عطاء الدنيا وعطاء الآخرة حتى يظن بجهله أن من أعطي في الدنيا أعطي في الآخرة. The Shaykh said, and what connection is there between that which the person is given in this world and that which a person is given in the hereafter? There's no connection. Allah may give you the world, but may not give you the hereafter. And Allah may not give you the world, but He may give you the hereafter. So the fact that you get one doesn't mean you will get the other one. Right or wrong? Many Christians now, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, they live a lavish life. They got money, they have good health, and they seem to be having a good life. Wa alaykum salam. It's extremely ignorant to think that because they were given this dunya that Allah will give them the year after. Right? Because there's no connection between both. So in order for an ignorant person to think that if Allah gave him the dunya, then Allah will give him the hereafter. And this is not the case. بَلِ الْغَالِبِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَزْوِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ عَنْ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَأَصْبِيَائِهِ وَيُوَسِّعُهَا عَلَى أَعْدَائِهِ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ نَصِيبٍ. الله أكبر. He said, the Shaykh said, but rather, the most common reality is that Allah Azza wa Jal will corner this world away from His righteous servants and those who were chosen. Yani Allah will not give them the dunya. Allah will not give them the dunya. And Allah will expand this dunya upon His enemies. Allah will give this dunya abundantly to His enemies, those who reject Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these will have in the hereafter absolutely nothing. No portion of goodness. And this is backed up with another verse in the Quran.
Verse
in Surah Al-Isra. Very, very sensitive statement of the Shaykh. The Shaykh said, and this is backed up with another verse in the Quran, من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. Listen to this verse from Surah Al-Isra. Don't worry about Abdul Hadi. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Isra, interpretation of the meaning, whomever wants this quick life, this fast passing life, we will give it to them as much as we want, to whomever we want. As much as we want, to whomever we want. But then we will prepare for them the hellfire where they will taste it in a state of humiliation and severe punishment, while they are kicked out and in a state of humiliation. This is the first option. Then Allah says in the next verse, but whomever wants the hereafter and he strives for it while he's a believer, then verily those, their effort will be rewarded and will be appreciated. So Allah told us in this verse, Ya Akhwan, that whomever wants this dunya, whomever wants this worldly life, Allah will give it to them. Whether Muslims or non-Muslims, if you want this world, Allah may give it to you. Because Allah has prepared for you something else in the hereafter, which is no good. But some people want money, they leave the salah alone for money. And they leave the siyam for money. And they leave enjoying the good and forbidden the evil for money. And they will live their whole life for money. Money, money, on the expense of Islam. And on the expense of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people want to become rich. Allah may give them that money. You want the money? Take the money. But don't expect nothing in the hereafter. So not every time we see someone who's been given wealth, it's an indication that Allah is pleased with them. Because there's no connection between both. Allah told us that He gives the dunya to whomever wants the dunya. But whomever wants the hereafter, and he strives for it, while he's a believer, then these people, their reward will be given to them in full. And their effort will be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an explanation of this particular verse. And this man was ignorant about that. Because he thought that Allah gave him these two gardens in this dunya, meaning inevitably Allah will give him something better in return. Because he understood from this that Allah loves him. Otherwise Allah wouldn't give me these two gardens. Allah wouldn't give me this wealth. It means Allah loves me. So Allah will give me something better in return. And the reality is, no. Rather, Allah may deprive His believing servant from this dunya and from wealth. Because Allah knows that if this wealth was to become in your hand, you will leave alone Islam. Or you will not be the same. You will lean towards the dunya. So Allah will deprive one of us of risk and sustenance. And we think we might have an evil thought, but we should have a good assumption about Allah. Because Allah knows that maybe if your salary is 2,000 riyal, you will keep praying in the masjid. You will keep supplicating to Allah. You will keep seeking the pleasure of Allah. You will keep working for the hereafter. As soon as you start making 10,000 riyal, ma'a salama. You're too busy for the masjid. You don't need to supplicate anymore. You think you're good. Allah knows about us. So Allah will not give you the 10,000 riyal. Even if you make dua for it. Because Allah knows that this is not good for you. It's actually mercy from Allah. It's mercy from Allah. But we fail to recognize it. You understand what I'm saying? And this is very important, dear one. So anyways, وَالظَّاهِرْ أَنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ حَقِيقَةِ الْحَالِ. And what it seems to be apparent from the verse, is that this person really understands the reality of the situation, which is the fact that he will not be given anything in the hereafter better than what he's been given in the dunya. Rather, his statement was only, وَلَكِنَّهُ قَالَ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّهَكُّمِ وَالْإِسْتِهْزَاءِ. But he only said this word, these statements, in the state of mockery and belittling. The belittlement of Allah Azza wa Jal. بِدَلِيلِ قَوْلِهِ وَدَقَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. الله أكبر. فإثبات أن وصفه الظلم في حال دخوله الذي جرى منه من القول ما جرى يدل على تمرده وعناده. Now look at the Shaykh رحمه الله, how he deduces from the verse things that me and you we may not pay attention to. Now we mentioned that this man could be one of two. Either he really knows that he is a lowlife and he is nothing, and that Allah gave him this dunya, and it doesn't mean that Allah will give him something better in the hereafter. Huh? Either he knows that, and he only said what he said out of mockery, because of his extreme arrogance. He knows that this is not the truth, but he's saying it. Oh, there's no day of judgment, but he knows there's a day of judgment. And if I was to return to my Lord, He will give me something better in return. Inside, he doesn't feel this way. He knows that this is incorrect, but this is something he's saying with his tongue, out of mockery. And the other option is that he's so stupid that he really thinks that Allah may give him better in the hereafter because Allah gave him this in the dunya. And this is incorrect, because we said it's not necessarily the case. He's one of two things. Now the Shaykh, rahimahullah, favored one position over the other due to the wording of the verse. He said what it seems to be is that he really knows. He's not ignorant, rather he really knows that there's no connection between being given in this dunya and given in the hereafter. But he was only saying it out of mockery and out of arrogance. What's the dalil? The description that Allah gave him. And he entered upon his garden while he was in a state of oppression. While he was in a state of oppression. So Allah described him with ظلم. And he said, the Shaykh said, because he was described in the state of ظلم, it indicated, and he said whatever he said upon entering his garden is an indication that he is an arrogant, prideful individual. Then he knew that Allah would not give him anything in the hereafter, but he was only saying this out of his arrogance. You understand what I'm saying? The Shaykh deduced this correct disposition because of the expression given that Allah said, and he entered upon his garden. And Allah didn't just continue, rather Allah mentioned, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, while he was oppressing himself. Now I know they translated to English, while in state of disbelief. Right? Pride and disbelief. Pride is the part that we're dealing with. Because ظلم is oppression. And the greatest kind of ظلم is disbelief. And pride is part of ظلم. So ظلم is an encompassing Arabic word that includes everything that is incorrect and that is not just and not correct. Now, قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا لكنه الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا. No, this is after actually. Somebody read from verse 37 to verse 39 in English please. Raise your voice, بارك الله فيك. 37, 38 and 39 in English. يلا يا شباب, don't be shy. يلا عبد الهادي.
And I thank not that all will ever come.
And no, wait, finish that.
37. His companions said to him during the talk with him, do you believe in him who created you out of dust, your father Adam and Abraham? Then out of Nutfa, the next seeming drop of milk and female with his charge. Then fashion you into a man. But as for my part, I believe that he asked Subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, and none shall I associate as partner with my Lord. It was better for you to say, when you enter your garden, that which Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, there is no power but with Allah. If you see me,
that's it.
Then you end well.
Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. قال الشيخ رحمه الله أي قال له صاحبه المؤمن ناصحا له ومذكر له حاله الأولى التي أوجده الله فيها في الدنيا من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا. الشيخ رحمه الله said, so now his believing companion told him, advising him and reminding him about his initial creation, about his first stage, about the early stages that Allah has brought him into this dunya through, that Allah brought him from dust, then from a mutfa, then Allah has fashioned him as a man. فهو الذي أنعم عليك بنعمة الإيجاد والإمداد وواصل عليك النعم ونقلك من طور إلى طور حتى سواك رجلا كامل الأعضاء والجوارح المحسوسة والمعقولة. So it is Allah who bestowed His favors upon you with the bounty of bringing into existence and supplying you with the various things and the various bounties that were continuously being given to you. And He moved you from a stage to a stage until He fashioned you as a man. يعني you were an embryo while you were in the mother's womb. Then more, the various stages in the mother's womb. Then when you were brought into this life, when you were delivered. Then when you were an infant, a baby, as you grow, then a toddler, then a boy, then that, until you became a man. Throughout all these times, ya akhwan, who was taking care of us? Allah. Who allowed us to become men now? Allah. It's the bounty of Allah. Whether physical, يعني within us, or that is being given to us. It's all from Allah. It's all from Allah. Even our parents, from Allah. Whomever took care of us is by the will of Allah. That's why there's the word Rabb. Rabbi. In Arabic, the word Rabb comes from Tarbiyah, Murabbi, the one who brings you up. That's why Allah is our Lord, meaning the one who brings us up, the one who takes care of us. And Allah is not the father of any one of us, but He took care of us as the creator to His creation. So this man reminded him, until Allah fashioned you as a man, kamil al-a'dha, with perfect organs and limbs, and that the physical, the tangible, and the non-tangible ones. Yani, the things that you see, like your arms and your legs and your face, and the organs and the thoughts, like the brain and the sight and the hearing. The things that you do not see, they're not tangible. Allah is the one who fashioned the man in this way. And it is Allah Azza wa Jalla who brought us to this state. وَبِذَلِكَ يَسَّرَ لَكَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَهَيَّأَ لَكَ مَا هَيَّأَ مِنْ نِعَمِ الدُّنْيَا فَلَمْ تَحْصُلْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا بِحَوْلِكَ وَقُوَّتِكَ بَلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْكَ. And Allah facilitated for you the means, and Allah prepared for you what He prepared for you from bounties of, from the bounties of this excuse me, of this world. So you were not able to attain this world through your own power and through your own will. You cannot. Rather it is by the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you. فَكَيْفَ يَلِيقُ بِكَ أَن تَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا وتجحد نعمته وتزعم أنه لا يبعثك وأن بعثك أنه يعطيك خيرا من جنتك فهذا مما لا ينبغي ولا يليق. So the Shaykh said, so how is it befitting for you? It is not befitting for you to disbelieve in Allah, the one who created you from dust, then He turned you into a nutfah, then He turned you into a man, and that you shall reject His bounty upon you, and that you shall claim that He will not resurrect you, and that if He did resurrect you, He will give you better than what He has given you in this dunya from these two gardens. This is something that should not be done, and this is something that is inappropriate and unacceptable. ولهذا لما رأى صاحبه المؤمن حاله واستمراره على كفره وطغيانه قال مخبرا عن نفسه على وجه الشكر لربه والإعلان بدينه عند ورود المجادلات والشبه ولكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا. Now the Shaykh said, so when his believing companion seen what has happened to his friend from his consistency and his stubbornness with his disbelief and his oppression, he started speaking about himself. قال مخبر عن نفسه, he spoke, expressing himself, trying to be thankful to Allah, showing his gratitude to Allah, and to announce his religion, to express his religion, to explain and expose his religion, because of the doubtful affairs that were brought. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, you understand from this that if a Christian start jib-jabbing too much about Jesus being a God and being divine and all this nonsense, according to this verse, we learn that when you see somebody in this state and you see him consistent in their kufr, they are stubborn, they want to remain upon Christianity, knowing that this is the false religion. Because it is clear like the sun that it is not the correct religion. But you see him consistent and stubborn, then this is the sunnah now according to the Quran, is that you express your belief system. He said, this is for you, as for me, I only worship Allah alone. I only worship God, the true God alone. You do what you do. As for me, I worship Allah alone and I do not associate any partners with them. So you declare your faith. Huh? You express what you think because you are upon the truth. Perhaps it may benefit them. Perhaps they will see from you your true faith, and that you are convinced, and then maybe they will think about it on their own personal time. Rather than if you don't say anything, they may think that, you know what I'm saying, that you are affected by their doubtful things, or you are affected by their statement. So when you express your belief system, you are reconfirming what you are upon. See, in Islam, Jesus is the son of Mary. We love him very much, but he is the messenger of Allah. I'm just reminding you again what the truth is. You want to put the truth aside and follow your desires and the opinion of men, that's up to you. But I expect of you to be more rational and more wise. Don't take the teachings of God from men. Take the teachings of God from revelation. If men explain the authentic revelation and Allah has commanded you to go back to them, then yes, no problem. That's why you have scholars. But if you take in the knowledge from people and it is opposing revelation, then no. And Allah told us in the Quran that the Jews and the Christians, they have taken their priests as gods besides Allah. Because the priest said, if this is halal, they do it. This is haram, they stop doing it. They don't care what it says in the Bible. If you say in the Bible, the pig is haram, you can't eat swine, but it doesn't matter. The Pope doesn't mind eating pig. I don't mind eating pig. Who's legislating? The Pope. The priest. Not the revelation. And if you want to say, okay, the revelation, you have a distorted revelation. It's unauthentic. So you have a problem, man. If you're still a Christian, you have a problem. Not you here. But you tell them, there's a problem, man. You gotta be realistic with yourself, man. Yani, you don't do this in life. In life, you want something firm. Yeah? Like if somebody gave you the option, they say, you want to come to Saudi? Yes. They say, look, you have two options. Either you go to an agency, you file, or you request, and you present to them your resume, your CV, and they present it to interested people here. The kafir goes to the Philippines, he meets you, he likes you, and he brings you over here. Or they tell you, there's people who sell a visa, 20,000 riyals. You don't know who he is. You don't know nothing about it. It's a gamble. You know, people do this. He sells you the visa, you don't get nothing. You only take the money by the ma'a salama. You've heard this happen to people before. Which one would you go for? You go for the first. I don't want to waste no money, man. Let the kafir come see me. We agree with each other. Then I go work with him. I want to have security. I want to act based on something that is sound, authentic, and comforting to the heart. And the Christians will do that for the world. But when it comes to religion, don't matter. Base your faith on something sound, something firm, something reliable. No, no, no. I have faith. And so does the Satan worshipper. He also has faith that through Satan he will go to paradise. And so the Buddhists have faith that through Buddha they will live a happy life. And the Hindus have faith. And every kafir upon earth has faith. But faith in what? So be careful, the Christians always do this. Because when you debate with a Christian and you reach the far line, he tells you, I just have faith. Right? You've heard this before. You speak about Trinity and he doesn't know how to explain it. He says, you just have to have faith. Tell him, I agree with you. I agree with you. Yes, you have to have faith. But faith in what? Faith in what? In something that you can't explain to me? Faith in something that it wasn't revealed? What is it in the Bible? The clear verses. Don't bring me no fabricated verse. Where is it? And why all these other verses contradict Trinity in the Bible? What kind of faith do you have? This is foolishness, man. Everybody claims to have faith. When you have faith, you need to have faith in something that Allah sent, that is preserved, protected. This is nowhere but the Quran. Nowhere but the Quran. You want to have faith? Have faith in the Quran, which tells you to have faith in the Gospel. And the faith in Jesus. And faith in Mary, but in the correct way. That's faith. But just to say the word faith all day, and they try to run away from you, tell them, I don't buy that. Faith is not enough. Faith has to be in agreement with logic, and faith has to be based on something that deserves faith. Not any faith, because everybody has faith, even if they're misguided. Anyways, so they say, then the believing men said, but as for me, Allah is my Lord, and I do not associate none with Him. فأقر بربوبيته لربه وانفراده فيها والتزم طاعته وعبادته وأنه لا يشرك به أحدا من المخلوقين. So this man, this believing companion, he confessed and confirmed the rububiyya of Allah Azza wa Jal, the lordship of Allah, because he said, but for me, Allah is my Lord. وانفرادي فيه أن Allah is the only Lord Azza wa Jal. And he was consistent, and he took it upon himself to obey Allah and to worship Him, and that he does not associate with Allah any creation, any of the creation. ثم أخبره أن نعمة الله عليه بالإيمان والإسلام ولو معه قلة ماله ولو مع قلة ماله وولده أنها هي النعمة الحقيقية وأن ما عداها معرض للزوال والعقوبة عليه والنكال والعقوبة عليه والنكال. فقال in, until the end of the verse, then he spoke about the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal upon him from making him a believer and a Muslim, although he has little money and little children. I may not be as wealthy as you, and I might not have as many children and servants and helpers as you, but Allah has bestowed upon me Islam and Iman, faith and submission, which in reality is the true bounty. Right? This is the true bounty from Allah. Not that Allah gives you money, not that Allah gives you children, rather that Allah makes you a believer and a submitter to Him. This is the true bounty. As for the other one, it is always, as the Shaykh said, everything else is, what is that English word? Is eligible to be destroyed. Everything else is eligible to be removed, to be taken away from the dunya. Because you may have money and you may lose the money. And you may have children and they may die. Right? This is a bounty that may go away. And also associated with that is punishment and hard living. Whereas the ni'mah of Islam and Iman brings nothing but goodness. The bounty of Islam and Iman brings absolutely nothing but goodness. إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا فعسى ربي أن يؤتيني خيرا من جنتك. Actually, before we continue, let us stop. Give you some time before Shaykh Muhammad Subhi comes in. We have stopped at verse number 39. هذا والله تعالى أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.